Number three, Acts chapter number three tonight. And I'm grateful to be in the house of the Lord one more time. Amen.
Yes.
Acts chapter number three. The Bible says these words, Luke being the writer, said these words, recorded these words. The Bible says, now Peter and John went up together into the temple at the hour of prayer, being the ninth hour. And a certain man, lame from his mother's womb, was carried, whom they laid daily at the gate of the temple, which is called Beautiful, to ask alms of them that entered into the temple. Who, seeing Peter and John about to go into the temple, asking alms, and Peter, fastening his eyes upon him with John, said, look on us. And he gave heed unto them, expecting to receive something of them. Then Peter said, silver and gold have I none, but such as I have, give I thee. In the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, rise up and walk. And he took him by the right hand and lifted him up, and immediately his feet and ankle bones received strength. And he, leaping up, stood and walked and entered with them into the temple, walking and leaping and praising God. And all the people saw him walking and praising God. And they knew that it was he which sat for alms at the beautiful gate of the temple. And they were filled with wonder and amazement at that which had happened unto him. Boy, what an awesome story that is.
Amen.
That being correctly read, that's Acts 3, verses 1 through 10 tonight. May the Lord add the blessing to the reading of the Word of God tonight. I want to just preach on this thought tonight with the Lord being our help. The working church. The working church. How many knows, friend, that we ought not to have a lazy church? Someone say
amen.
But we ought to have a church that is concerned about working and doing for the cause of Christ.
Yes,
and so I want to preach on that thought tonight. But before I do that, I want to wish my father tonight a happy birthday. Amen.
Amen.
Dad is turned 80 years old today.
Amen. Amen.
So, Dad, happy birthday to you. I love you very much. Let's pray. All right. Father in heaven, we love you, Lord, and we thank you, Father, for your blessings. Thank you for your mercy and thank you for your grace. God, I pray, Father, tonight that, Lord, you would just help us to rightly divide the word of truth. Father, I pray that, Lord, if there be any sin, any wickedness, God, that is in my heart, Lord, whether it be thought, whether it be word, whether it be deed, God, I pray that, Lord, you forgive me, God, and scrub me up, God, and make me a vessel meet for the Master's use. God, I pray, Father, tonight that, Lord, if there's anybody in this building that does not know you, Lord, I pray that you would save them before it is eternally too late. Then, God, I pray that if there is somebody that has walked in this place tonight holding on to a burden, holding on to some struggles in their life, God, I pray that, Lord, you would relieve that burden, and I pray, God, that you would help them, God, in their time of need. And then, Lord, for all of us that have been saved by the grace of God, Lord, would you please, Lord, speak to us tonight about whether or not we are working, whether or not we are doing, whether or not we are occupying until you come. So, Father, I pray that you forgive us of our apathy and help us, God, we pray, to learn something from the Word of God tonight that would put a pep in our step, that would give us zeal once again, that would get rid of the apathy, God, the carelessness, Lord, that sometimes we practice after we've been saved by the grace of God. Father, I pray that you'd help us, dear God, to win this community with the gospel of Christ. Lord, if there is an area of the country that needs a revival, it is Northwest Indiana. And so, God, I pray, Father, that, Lord, you would just help us, God, to do what you've called us to do. We love you and we thank you, for we ask it in Jesus' name. And all God's people said tonight,
amen.
You may be seated. Thank you so very much. I want you to know that our world, no question in my mind anyway, we've got churches of every sort, don't we?
Oh, yeah.
It seems like that we've got these, nowadays, we have traditional churches and we have contemporary churches.
Mm-hmm.
I was going past a sign here in the area here a couple of months ago, and I saw a church that said traditional worship at 9 and contemporary worship at 11. And I thought to myself, I wonder what's the difference between the 9 o'clock service and the 11 o'clock service. But there's all kinds of different churches. There's city churches. There are country churches. Here is a thing that I cannot stand whatsoever. It is totally unbiblical to say this. But friend, I can tell you that we have white churches and black churches and Korean churches and all kinds of different churches. Isn't that right, Sister Jo? All kinds of different churches. But it's amazing to me that when I read Revelation chapter number 7, the Bible says that all kindred, all nation, all people, and all tongue is going to stand before the throne room of God someday.
Right.
And friend, I'm glad there ain't going to be a label. Can I get an
amen?
Amen. But it is going to be God's church. Amen.
Yeah.
And so it is amazing to me the reasons why people actually go to church. And after 18 years of evangelism, it is amazing some of the things that I have heard. And I was reading through a book here just recently by a guy by the name of Glenn Wagner. And Glenn wrote a book entitled The Church That You Have Always Wanted. And in that book, he lists some reasons why people actually go down to the house of God. Hmm. And I thought there were some of them were kind of funny, but some of them were quite sad. Here's one. He said, the church of networking. He said, this is where you can make contacts in order to be able to expand your business.
Hmm.
He said, the church of the significant other. This is where you can find that special someone down at the church house. Yeah. Of course, I found my wife at the church house.
Yeah. Amen.
The church of the country club. Now, this is where you can gather together to celebrate, that you can gather together and celebrate while nobody else can. Amen.
Yeah.
The church of heavenly fun and sanctified pleasure. This is where they fill your nights and weekends with fun and excitement so that you won't take your business elsewhere.
Mm.
The church of the self-service spiritual garage. This is where you get a periodic oil change or an anointing, if you will. And they show up on Sunday morning and they feel like they don't have to come back on Sunday night or Tuesday night or Wednesday night or whatever it may be.
Come on.
I get an amen right
there. Amen.
Somebody said one time Sunday morning attendance was a big blowout. Sunday night was a little turnout. And Wednesday night or midweek service is practically a fallout. Can I get an amen?
Amen.
So how about this one? How about this one? Here's one. The church of the fast food restaurant. This is where you get what you want. Quick, easy, and cheap. Just enough to sustain you for another week.
Yep.
Now here's one. The church of hellfire. This is where you will turn or burn. You will shake or bake. You will deny or fry. Amen.
Right.
Wow. Okay. The church of the sanctified information. This is where the one with the biggest, fullest notebook gets the title most spiritual at the end of the month. Amen. The church of the holy tradition. This is where there is a museum of and for the saints. The people gather to dust off old relics and be touched by the sacrifices of the past. Nostalgia is everything, and worship is about a warm, fuzzy feeling about
yep.
God.
Oh, come on.
I can tell you that after 18 years, friend, I have been to a couple of these churches. Amen?
Yep.
But it is amazing to me the reasons why people come to the house of God. And so, friend, here's the thing. With so many churches on our landscape today, with all kinds of churches and all kinds of titles above the door and all kinds of different things that they are advertising, I think it's important for us to ask the question tonight, with all of these churches in existence today, what should a church actually act like?
Yes, sir.
What should a church actually be doing? One commentator gave a very compelling description when he said these words about the church. Listen to what he said. He said, the church is not a refrigerator for preserving personal piety. He said, it is a dynamic for changing human wills with power. The church is not a store to furnish a sleeping hammock for the lazy. It is an equipping house that offers well-fitted yokes to handle life's load. The church is not a place to dodge life's difficulties. It is a place that furnishes strength and courage to meet them. Amen.
Amen.
And friend, that's what the house of God is.
Amen.
When I come to the house of God, friend, I'm going to tell you, I'm coming down there, and if the preacher steps on my toes, praise God. Amen.
Yeah.
I need my toes stepped on. Can I get an amen?
Amen.
Amen.
And so, friend, I think about Acts chapter number 1. I'm amazed at when I read these chapters. There's a little outline here that you can jot down to help you understand what they were getting ready to learn as we walk into chapter 3. In Acts chapter number 1, the disciples encountered what I like to call the person of Christ. Because here it is the risen, resurrected Christ Himself. He has made Himself known unto the believers. The Bible tells you and I in Acts chapter number 1 that there were 120 that were gathered in the upper room, and the Holy Ghost of God filled that place that afternoon. And so, friend, I can tell you that they begin to understand and encounter the person of Christ. But in Acts chapter number 2, I can tell you that the disciples encountered the power of Christ. Because it is in Acts chapter number 2 that the Holy Ghost of God comes to the church on the day of Pentecost. And now all of a sudden, thank God, the birth of the church of the living God. Now here it is in Acts chapter number 2, and it is brought forth with the power of Christ. Amen.
Yeah.
But in Acts chapter number 3 and 4, the disciples encounter the purpose of Christ in these two chapters. In fact, the church begins now working. The church now begins fulfilling, if you will. The church now begins to understand its purpose and why it was birthed in the first place. Amen.
Amen.
That there was a purpose behind, friend, why they were saved by the grace of God. You see, Ephesians 2, 8, 9, and 10 says, "For by grace are you saved through faith, that not of yourselves, it is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. But we are His workmanship, created in Christ Jesus, unto good works, that He hath before ordained that we walk in them."
Nice.
Friend, I want to tell you, Jesus did not save you to sit on a pew. Can I
Amen.
Get that?
Amen.
Jesus did not save you to look across the other side of the church house and say, "I just think I'll let that guy over there deal with it," or "I think I'll let that lady over there deal with it." And you said that one of the saddest things I see in churches all the time is people sitting on a pew, and friend, here it is, 5 years, 10 years, 20 years
Come
after
on.
They've been saved by the grace of God, and they are still trying to figure out what the will of God for their life is. Amen.
Come on.
And God has given you and I a purpose. Amen.
Yeah.
Every one of us, regardless if you're 80 years old, or friend, whether or not you're the youngest one in here, as long as you have got breath in your body, God has given you and I a purpose. Amen.
Amen.
So when you begin to understand this, knowing the person of Christ, this receiving the power of Christ, and start fulfilling the purpose of Christ, friend, that is when this Christian life that you are living for God, oh friend, it will be so enriched with happiness and joy, friend, that you cannot experience unless you are in the middle of the will of God for your life. Amen?
Yeah.
So I want you to know that, listen, the work of the early church, it ought to be the same exact work that's going on in 2019.
Yeah.
I understand, I completely understand, friend, that listen, that the methods that you and I use, that friend, some methods may change as time goes on, but the message ought to always remain the same.
Right.
The death, the burial, the resurrection of Christ, the person of Christ, the power of Christ, and of course the purpose of Christ. And so what I want to do is I want to take a couple of minutes, and I want to go through Acts chapter number 2 and 3 and 4 here just real quickly. And I want to just kind of quickly run through really Acts chapter number 3 mostly. And I just go through this and find out what it was that put this church on fire for the Lord. I want you to notice that I basically got one point that I want to give you tonight, but I've got 100 sub-points. Can I get an amen right now? But one point of the message tonight is this. After these guys received the person of Christ, after they found out about the power of Christ and experienced that, now this purpose of Christ, fulfilling what Christ asked them to do. Friend, what I see in this chapter here, in chapter number 3, is the first thing that they decided to do was to witness for the Lord.
Amen.
Witness for the Lord. You see, the transition from Acts chapter 2 to Acts chapter number 3, it is absolutely interesting when you actually look at it. Because in Acts chapter number 2, you find Peter the preacher in Acts chapter number 2. But in Acts chapter number 3, you find Peter the personal worker. Amen. He has experienced the person of Christ, the power of Christ, and now the purpose of Christ. In Acts chapter number 2, you've got the multitudes, don't you? Peter is preaching to the multitudes in Acts chapter number 2. But here in Acts chapter number 3, you now have Peter preaching and witnessing one-on-one to a simple, poor, crippled individual. In Acts chapter number 2, this is amazing, ministry resulted in blessing. But in Acts chapter number 3, ministry results in persecution. And so, friend, I can tell you that chapter number 3, it opens up with Peter and John. And it opens up with these guys going into this prayer meeting together. And as they're walking into this prayer meeting, before they arrive, they are presented with an opportunity to tell somebody about the goodness of Christ. Now, here's my question before we get started. How many times has the Lord given you the opportunity today to tell somebody about Jesus? How many times, friend, have you walked by a situation today or in recent days and you felt in your heart that God wanted you to say something to this individual? That God was opening up an opportunity for you to be able to witness and to share the love of Christ? Friend, I wonder if you have decided to walk by that individual and ignore what God is asking you to do, or friend, could it be that some of you could pop up here tonight and begin to share stories about what God did within recent days, friend, when you were obedient to what Christ asked you to do? I want you to know that here in verses number 2 and 3, I want you to notice the man that they encountered in the text. The Bible says that a certain man lame from his mother's womb was carried, whom they laid daily at the gate of the temple, which is called Beautiful, to ask alms of them that entered into the temple, who, seeing Peter and John about to go into the temple, asked an alms. The Word of God tells you and I that they met a crippled man.
Right.
And the Bible says about this crippled man, when you go on to study the book of Acts, you'll find out that Acts chapter 4, around verse 21, 22, it gives us pretty much the age of the man that was crippled. The Bible tells us and indicates to us that he was around the age of 40 years old.
Right.
And so now we see Peter and John getting ready to go into the temple. But the Bible tells you and I that this man had been laid in front of that temple every solid day. It was a daily event. Someone picked him up,
yep,
brought him down to the front doors of the temple, and friend, they dropped him off. And
come
all
on.
That he, listen, he never had a chance to run and play when he was a kid.
No.
He never had the opportunity to be able to hold down a job. He could not have a family. Friend, he was an invalid. He could not walk.
Right.
He had a handicap, friend. And I can tell you that when I begin to read through that text, the Bible says that they done something for him. They laid him in front of what they call the beautiful gate.
Right.
The beautiful gate. And as I begin to take a look at some things about the beautiful gate, I thought to myself, I wonder how beautiful this gate actually was. And so I went back and I began to read after a couple of early church writers, and I found some writings from Josephus. And Josephus described and begins to relate of the beauty of this gate that this man was laid in front of. And here's what he said. He said, "Now 9 of these gates were on every side covered over with gold and silver, as were the jambs of their doors and their lintels. But there was one gate that was without. It was the inward court of the holy house," he said, "which was of Corinthian brass, and greatly excelled those that were only covered over with silver and with gold."
Mm-hmm.
Now when I read through that, I thought to myself, man, this gate had to be breathtaking. This gate that they laid this man in front of every solid day, it had to be absolutely breathtaking to the point that you stood back and you were amazed at how beautiful that gate actually was.
Right.
And then I begin to think for just a few moments that it is amazing to me, though, that that man was laid in front of that gate every solid day. I wonder why somebody did not think about bringing him into the temple. I wonder why somebody was never concerned, my dear friend, about bringing him way past, my dear friend, that beautiful gate. I begin to think about it, friend, and I can tell you that's exactly what the world does, friend, for the world that we are living in today. I can tell you that it is the world and it is religion, if you will,
yeah,
that will absolutely leave an individual stranded on the outside of the blessing,
right,
of the Lord Jesus Christ. But may I say to you, say, how stranded will they make him? Well, I can tell you that they will leave them stranded with no way to get home.
Yep.
I leave them sitting, my friend, with absolutely in the waiting room of life. I contend that they will be searching, looking for answers to questions that they are longing for somebody to be able to come by and to answer. They are starving to death for something that is real. They are starving to death, brother, for something that is genuine.
Yeah.
Something that has real meaning to it. Something that has real truth to it. I can tell you, friend, that we are living in a world today that needs more than somebody saying, I'm praying for your brother.
Right.
And flip them a nickel and rub them on the head and tell them that everything is going to be all right. And we are living in a world, I can tell you, that is hurting. We are living in a world that is struggling. And Peter quickly notes that this man's primary problem, while it may have been physical, Peter began to understand that this man had a spiritual problem. Amen.
Yeah.
And in verse number 4, the Bible says, fasting his eyes upon him. Fasting his eyes upon him. This is a favorite phrase that Luke uses throughout the book of Acts. In fact, I have tons of references here. We'll not look at any of the other ones tonight. But the first time that it is mentioned is there in Acts chapter number 1 and verse number 10. The Bible says, and while they look steadfastly towards heaven, it is the word anthesio. It carries the idea to look upon. It carries the idea to gaze upon, to look intently, to fix one's eyes upon a particular subject. Friend, I can tell you that when Peter said these words, when he said, look on us. Friend, I can tell you that, listen, when I thought about those words that Peter used, I thought to myself, boy, am I ready for somebody, am I ready to say to somebody, hey, take a look at me. Hey, take a look at me. Because here's the thing, what would the world see if they took a look at me? What would the world see, friend, if you said, hey, look on us. Look at me. Would they see the reflection of the Lord Jesus Christ inside of your heart and inside of your life? Friend, the Bible says Peter was, as this man was gazing, friend, I can tell you that Peter realized that this man, he needed way more than money. Friend, he needed a miracle. Amen.
Yeah.
And friend, I can tell you that while money might be important in our life, and it might get us through, I can tell you that, friend, my blessings come from the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen.
Yeah.
And I can tell you that the righteous has never been forsaken, and his seed has never been begging for bread. Why? Because God is there to pick us up in our time of need. Amen.
Yeah.
And to help us in our time of need. I can tell you that money might be important in this world, but friend, I can tell you money cannot buy everything. Amen?
Right.
Money might be able to buy a bed, but it cannot buy sleep. Money
right.
might be able to buy books, but it cannot buy brains. Money
yep.
might be able to buy food, but it cannot buy an appetite.
Right.
Money might be able to buy finery, but I can tell you it cannot buy beauty. Money might
Mom.
Be able to buy a house, but it cannot buy a home.
No.
Money might be able to buy medicine, but it cannot buy your health.
Right.
Money might be able to buy luxuries, but it cannot buy culture.
Come
money
on.
Might be able to buy amusement, but it cannot buy happiness.
Come
money
on.
Might be able to buy you a crucifix, but friend, it mm. cannot buy you a savior.
Amen.
Money might be able to buy you a church pew, but friend, I'm telling you, it cannot buy you heaven tonight.
Right.
Because only the Lord Jesus Christ tries to be the miracle worker in your life. The Bible says in Matthew 8:36, what shall it profit a man if he should gain the whole world and lose his own soul?
That's right.
Friend, I appreciate money. Hallelujah.
Yep.
And that God has blessed us with a little bit. Friend, I can tell you money is not our problem. Friend, our real need is the Lord Jesus Christ.
Yes.
And Peter understood that while this man thought as he was begging for alms, looking for some money, looking for somebody to be able to come by and help him in his time of need, friend, I can tell you that Peter looked way beyond that. He realized that this man needed the Lord Jesus Christ. I want you to know that he was a helpless man. Can I get an amen?
Amen.
He was a hopeless man. He was a desperate man. He was a dependent man. He was waiting on somebody to come by and help him. And I'm sure that Oprah had come by. I'm sure that Dr. Phil had been by.
Come on.
I'm sure that there was all kinds of philosophies that probably came by to try to help him. But friend, I can tell you it wasn't until Peter and John came by. Amen.
Yeah.
And looked at the man's need. You see, this lame man, he is a type of lost humanity. You say, how is he a type of lost humanity? Because every one of us are born spiritually handicapped because of our sin. Amen?
Amen.
And I can tell you that all of us are born as bankrupt sinners, absolutely unable to pay the tremendous debt, friend, that we owe to the Lord. Paul even said in Romans chapter 1 in verse number 14, Paul said, I am a debtor both to the Greeks and to the barbarians, both to the wise and to the unwise. Now we understand, how many has ever been indebted to anybody before in their life? Amen. How many owes the banker some money? Somebody say amen.
Amen.
I mean, listen, I can tell you, listen, I might be able, Brother Mike, to be able to pay the car note off. I might be able to pay the mortgage off. I might be able to pay the credit cards off that I am indebted to. But friend, I can tell you that there is one debt that I will never, no, not ever be able to repay, and it's what Jesus did for me.
Amen.
At the cross of Calvary.
Yes.
And no wonder Paul said, I am a debtor both to the Greeks and to the barbarians, both to the wise and to the unwise. Friend, it doesn't matter if it is the richest individual in Lake County or if it is one of these gangbangers on the street. Friend, we are indebted to take the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ to a world that is hurting, a world struggling. It doesn't matter whether what side of the tracks are on. It doesn't matter the color of their skin. Friend, it does not matter. Hey, we are responsible, amen, to tell them that Jesus saves.
Yes.
Jesus saves. Thank God, Jesus.
Amen.
Saves.
Come on.
Hallelujah. Friend, I can tell you that, listen, all men are outside of the temple. They are separated from God by their very sin.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm glad, thank God, that Jesus, hallelujah, He made a way. Amen?
Yeah.
This man did not need money. He needed a miracle. Verse number 6 tells us about the miracle. Look what happened. Look what happened. The Bible says, then Peter said, silver and gold have I none. But such as I have, give I thee. In the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, rise up and walk.
Amen.
Now there's something that I want to point out here before I get to preaching here real quick. Amen. But friend, I can tell you, I want you to notice what he said. He did not say, silver and gold have I none, but such as I have, give I thee. In the name of Peter.
That's right.
In the name of John, rise up and walk. No, no. What he said was that in the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, rise up and walk. Now, why was it that Peter and John could exclusively claim that that power, that there was this power in this name called Jesus? Well, the Bible says over in Romans chapter 1, verse 3 and 4, it tells us exactly why that power was available to both of these men that afternoon. The Bible said in Romans 1, 3, said concerning His Son Jesus Christ our Lord, which was made of the seed of David according to the flesh, and declared to be the Son of God with power according to the Spirit of holiness by the resurrection from the dead. Amen.
Amen.
You know, that's exactly why Peter, that's why the Bible says there is no other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved. Amen.
Right.
At the name of Jesus, every knee is going to bow of things in heaven, things in earth, and things under the earth, and that every tongue is going to confess that Jesus Christ is the Lord to the glory of God the Father. Amen.
Amen.
You might not bow your knee to the Lord Jesus Christ here on planet earth, but friend, there is coming a day that, friend,
listen,
you will bow your knee to the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen.
Amen.
And there have been so many people in our world in years gone by that thought that they had equal power to God Himself. In fact, John Lennon from the Beatles back in the 60s made the statement that they were more more popular and even more powerful than God Himself. But friend, I can tell you that John Lennon found out something that, friend, he could not conquer that Jesus did. And it was called death.
Amen. Amen.
And I can tell you that there have been other people that have been the same exact way. I can tell you that the difference between the Lord Jesus Christ as opposed to other world conquerors in our time, friend, Hitler, Stalin, Mussolini, Napoleon, Alexander the Great, Genghis Khan, every one of them have been tracked down by death. Amen?
Yep. Right.
Kings and dictators like Herod, Pilate, Saddam Hussein, Osama bin Laden, Fidel Castro, Muammar Gaddafi, friend, they were all ruled and conquered by this thing called death.
Right.
Philosophers have thought for sure that the head are all figured out, like Aristotle and Socrates, Albert Einstein, Charles Darwin, John Locke, Confucius and Plato, every one of those junkers were cut down by death.
Amen. Amen.
Religious leaders like Mohammed, Buddha, Charles Hayes Russell, Joseph Smith, Mary Baker Eddy, Madeline Murray O'Hare, Jim Jones, from the grave, tracked them down. Samson was not strong enough to be able to resist it. Solomon was not smart enough to figure it out. But I can tell you, Methuselah, he gets an A for effort. Amen? But after 969 years, death tracked that old boy down.
Yes.
But hey, I'm glad, thank God, that when death tracked the Lord Jesus Christ down, I'm glad that 1 Corinthians 15:19 says, if we have hope only in this life, we are of all men most miserable. But now is Christ risen from the dead and become the first fruits of them that slept.
Right.
Jesus is the beginning of the resurrection. So because He is alive, thank God you're alive and got hope in Jesus, we can be alive as well. Amen.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
Yeah.
That ought to make a Baptist at least want to grow tonight. Amen.
Yeah.
Jesus is good. Amen.
Man.
Jesus is powerful. Amen. Why? Because of the resurrection of the grave. Amen. And the Bible says in verse number 6, He says, then Peter and gold said, silver and gold have I none, but such as I have give I thee. In the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, rise up and walk. The Bible says that He took him by the right hand and lifted him up. And immediately his feet and ankle bones received strength. And he leaping up stood and walked and entered with them into the temple, walking and leaping and praising God. Amen.
Amen.
Where's Ethan at? Come here, Ethan. Come here for a minute, brother. Come here for 1 minute. You're going to be the lame man. Stay right there. Amen. Come here, Brother Dennis. I'll take it easy on us, all right? Now, every day he's laid in front of the temple, right? What the text says, daily he was laid there. Now, I can just see the routine after 40 years. How many has a routine when they go to work? Anybody got a routine?
Yeah.
You get up, you stagger down the hallway, you make sure that the coffee's running, you make sure you brush it, all that, you got all that. You got an exact way you do things. Well, here we are, going into the temple. We're turning the corner, there's the lame man. You got any change?
You got
that one. So what do? We flip them, hey, lame man, what's up? We flip them a coin and we go on into the temple. The next day comes back by, you got any money? You still ain't got no money. We go by the next day, hey, lame man, what's going on? We flip them a coin, we say, hey man, hope things are going well, and we go on by. The third day, the fourth day, the fifth day, 10 years, 20 years has gone by. Hey, there's a lame man. And boy, we go by, we flip him a coin, and there he is again. We say, hey man, hope things are going well. And we go through that routine every day.
Yes, sir.
Until one day, we turn the corner. And when I even say to him, I bet you the lame man is sitting in front of that gate. How much you want to bet? Think he's there?
I think he's probably there.
And when we turn the corner, there's the lame man. But this time, the lame man is not sitting in the spot that he's normally there. And we see him doing something that blows our ever-living mind. Go ahead, lame man. Start leaping and praising God, brother. Yeah. I mean, man, can you see him leaping and jumping and praising God?
Hey, now,
go through there and high-five everybody in the building. Amen. I mean, man, hey, he said, Secondly, man, let me tell you this. There is one thing I can assuredly say that the lame man did not do. The lame man did not, come on, now we're going to be Peter and John, alright? Alright, he did not say, hey, Peter, hey, John, man, thank you guys for coming by and seeing me today. I hope you all have a great day. See you around. And then he just walked off. One more time. I want you to leave and praise God, brother. Hallelujah. He almost took the light out. Brother, don't mess up my offering. Amen. Can you imagine that, brother? And I mean, man, he's leaping, he's praising God. And boy, for the first time in this man's life, boy, he is fired. He's listening. Remember, he listened to Oprah. Oprah couldn't help him. He listened to Dr. Phil. Dr. Phil couldn't help him. He listened to every philosophy that was going on in that world that day. They all had remedies. They were telling them about grandma's remedies and great-grandpa's remedies, trying to tell them all these remedies that for sure were probably helping, but none of it helped him.
No.
You know why? Because Peter and John realized we can handle this guy's physical problem because Jesus is on our side.
Amen. Amen. Yeah.
But boy, what he really needs is he really needs a touch from the Master.
Yeah.
Yes. Boy, thank God it was that day that that man began to leap and praise God because finally he had been healed. And friend, do you understand he is a type, if you will, of lost humanity? He is a type of individuals that are just like that. We walk by them every solid day of our life. They are lame. They are broken. Friend, I can tell you, Ephesians chapter number 2 and verse number 1 says they are dead in trespasses and in sin.
Right.
But I'm glad, thank God, that somebody came by and shared the gospel. Hey, I can tell you, there was a moment in your life, I'm sure you were leaping and praising God because God took some of you out of alcohol. God took some of you out of drugs. God took some of you to put your marriages back together. Amen. God did it, my God. And we ought to stand up tonight and leap and praise God. And Lord, thank you. Thank you. Somebody came by and loved me enough to tell me about the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. You ought to be seated. Amen. Oh, friend, I think about Peter. Here is Peter. He's the guy doing the preaching. He is the guy, friend, that is walking in and leading this man to Jesus. But what was he doing 3 weeks prior to that? What did he do?
He denied
the Lord Jesus.
That's right.
He denied his best friend. When Jesus needed Peter the most, I can tell you the boy Peter turned his back on his best friend.
Yes.
Boy, no doubt that's hurtful. No doubt, friend, most of us, boy, if our best friend turned their back on us, what a struggle that would be. A friend, the Bible tells you and I that Peter took a moment and he got down on his hands and knees and he got himself right with God. And he began to pray and he began to seek the face of God and the forgiveness of the Lord came by and forgave Peter.
Yes.
You know what that tells me? It tells me that we are serving a God of second chances.
Yes.
Amen. Listen, that it does not matter how far that you have gone. It doesn't matter how much sin is in your back pocket. Friend, I don't care what you have done, whether it is a bad thought, whether it is the worst deed ever. Friend, I don't care whatever word you've said. It does not matter. We have a God, hallelujah, that loves us and will forgive us. Amen.
Yeah.
He said, preacher, give me some Bible. The Bible says in 1 John chapter 1 and verse number 7 that the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ, His Son, cleanses us from all of our unrighteousness. Amen.
There you go.
There is not one sin, my dear friend, that you have ever committed in your life that Jesus was not willing to go to the cross for and pay for. Amen.
Amen.
That's why I'm glad, thank God, to be free tonight. Amen. In the middle of it all, as Sarah sang a few moments ago, there is Jesus. Amen.
Yeah.
I'm glad that it is by the way of the cross of the Lord Jesus Christ that God has given you and I an opportunity to be able to come exactly like we are. And now here it is, God. using Peter. God's using Peter. Not only to be able to win that young man to the Christ that day, but he goes on and he begins to let them know that you were the one that put the Lord Jesus Christ on the cross.
Yeah.
It was because of your sin, my friend, that you put the Lord Jesus Christ on the cross. He came to you, yet you rejected Him, but yet He went to the cross anyway and loved you for exactly who you were. And friend, I can tell you, Peter now stands up with all of the boldness. Peter stands up with this fresh anointing from the Holy Ghost of God. And friend, he stands up and proclaims it until his dying day that Jesus helped him, that Jesus saved him, that
yeah.
Jesus loved him, that Jesus had mercy on him, that Jesus forgave him exactly where he was at.
Yeah.
Friend, I can tell you that's exactly what Christ has done for all of us today.
Yes.
He's forgiven us, friend, when nobody else would.
Nice.
And now we have a responsibility to still let the world know. We are to be the hands and the feet of the Lord Jesus Christ, because there are lame people that are everywhere that need Christ, that need salvation, that need a touch from God. Friend, I can tell you tonight that as I thought about it for a few moments this afternoon, the church's job is to get to work for witnessing for the Lord.
Yeah.
You see, I can tell you this tonight, but listen, we cannot save their soul.
That's right.
We cannot solve their problems. We cannot lift their burdens. We cannot meet their needs. We cannot answer their prayers. We cannot bring their kids back home. We cannot mend their marriages back together. Friend, we can introduce them to one that can.
Amen.
And one that has. And one that will. Friend, if they'll call upon the name of Jesus.
Amen.
What about you tonight? J.D. Sumner and the Stamps used to sing a song years and years ago. The title of the song was, "What Kind of Church Would My Church Be If Every Member Was Just Like Me?"
Come on.
I want you to think about that for a moment. What kind of church would my church be if every church member was just like me? Friend, I have no idea tonight why the Lord laid this message on my heart. But I know this. This message ought to help us to A, see that no matter what you've done in life, God is willing to forgive you.
Yeah.
That no matter how long you've been running from God, God is willing to meet you right where you're at. That those that have been lame and broken for 30 and 40 years of their life, that there is still a chance, my friend, that God would come by and save them and pick them up in their time of need. There is hope in Christ. There is hope in the gospel. We have a God that is the God of second chances. And friend, the responsibility has been laid upon every one of us that have been saved by the grace of God. The Lord has asked us to be the hands and the feet of the Lord Jesus. There is no plan B whatsoever.
Right.
Friend, either you and I are going to take the gospel to the world, or friend, the gospel is not going out to the world, because the responsibility has been laid on all of us tonight. Amen.
Amen.
So how many people do you know that are lame? How many people do you all know that is broken? Is it a mama? Is it a daddy? Is it a spouse? Is it a child? Is it a grandchild? Is it somebody that is very dear to your heart? An aunt, an uncle, a friend, a co-worker, a neighbor? Who is it, friend, that you know is broken? And if you got that phone call tonight, if that individual has slipped off into eternity, friend, are you sure that you have done everything that you could possibly do to try to win them with the gospel of Christ? With heads bowed and eyes closed tonight.